Blog Talk Radio.
Show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub and your interaction on how your interaction should be with him and your interaction, your relationships with one another in different nations to get a critical analysis and assessment. And once done, make the right decisions. But before we get started on our studies, I want to make some comments about contemporary subject matters. I know some of you perhaps have been watching the goings on in the U.S. State Senate, the will of the Senate. And what should it tell you about the goings on? The expected acquittal of Donald J. Trump. What should it tell you? It should tell you this. They have laws. They have warehouses of laws that they want you to go by. But those laws do not apply to them. Number one. And number two, most importantly, you better watch out. You are not part of the club if you look anything remotely like me or Cartrell. You've been lying to yourselves and or each other. You better watch out. And we also suggest you need to find out where you can run to and hide, because you're going to need it. You better know that they are the rock you can hide on. There are some wings you can hide under. There are some shields and buckler you can hide behind. And there's a strong tower you can run to. Oh, it's true. You best watch out. Also, of a more important note, I've heard rumors to the effect that Cartrell and I, we teach what Yah says. What do I say to that? I have no defense for that, because it's true. We do teach what Yah says. And I know perhaps some wants to teach whatever they want to teach. That's their prerogative. If they want to come on and share their teaching with us, we'll listen. But what Yah has told me in this sense, in my studies, this is not about Katra and you, Yom Suf. This is about me. They don't like what I'm saying. This ain't your fight. You just a spokesperson. You and Katra, y'all just spokespersons. That's all y'all need to do. And I defend myself. And that's that on that. So far as those who have these allegations against Cartrell and I, we have no defense, because we do speak what Yah says. And so if you have an issue with Yah, we strongly advise you take it up with him. And last but not least, I've heard rumors of allegations as to my conduct in regards to certain matters of female persuasion, our sisters. I would say this in response to that. If you have your witnesses, bring your witnesses forth in public. Don't hide behind someone's back and throw out allegations. It carries no weight or validity. Just what he said, she said, or they said. Bring forth your witnesses or shut your mouth and stop with your scheming. And let's get started in our studies, okay? But before we do that, let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City, Brother Cartrell. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yom Suf Ari. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. May he bless you also and your family.
So I appreciate that. You said a mouthful, man. You threw a lot out there. Smorgasbord and stuff.
I always try to.
I don't know what you want me to do with it, but you know what we call that justice system in the ghetto?
Just us. And it's certainly that. It's certainly that.
Because had it been us, the results and the outcome would have been totally different.
Quite different, my brother. Quite different.
Could you imagine Barack Obama acting in a manner Donald J. Trump with our people?
Not only would they have attacked Barack, they'd have been trying to attack some of our communities, our settlements.
The police would have let them in. They would have caught Barack. They had the noose ready.
You sure know what to say, my brother.
They were prepared to fight like hell, baby.
And you know what that means. Everybody know what that means, fight like hell. Ain't nobody stupid now. Well, maybe some are, but most aren't that. What did that Thomas Paine say? Common sense. Ain't nobody stupid, but a lot of people don't have common sense.
You mean uncommon sense.
They don't have the Thomas Paine kind, the common sense. They have the other kind.
Oh, no. Okay. We see these people that lust their mind. And the Most High said, before I destroy people, I make them mad. So these people are angry, they mad, they out of their minds.
Right.
But the source of our strength is Yah. And he's telling us that. How is he telling us that? Through the words of King David and through his own words. He said, put not your trust in man, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. He commands us to trust him, to love him, and to obey his word. So we the clay, right? Like you said, he's the potter, and we the clay. Sometimes it's hard to just let yourself go and let Yah mold you. So when our people hear his words, it's uncomfortable because Yah is very detailed in what he wants and specific in his instructions to us as a people. Just like when the prophets of ancient times brought this message to our people, they was uncomfortable with it. And here today, in 2001, according to the Gregorian calendar, we still have problems with the word of Yah.
Exactly.
Because we ain't putting our, you know, slant on it or our interpret. I mean, words in there. We reading word for word, line for line, dot for dot. And that's how Yah said you would get his word. Hear a little, there a little. Precept upon precept, and we're doing it chapter by chapter.
Exactly.
And it's very eye-opening. So exactly. We need to be more clay-like, because when you molding clay, you can't have hard clay and mold it. So our people have been hardened in this Western society and doctrine. We've been converted to being a Western-minded people when we're an Eastern people.
Exactly.
And we should break up our fallow grounds, unlearn what we've been taught.
Exactly.
And that goes as far as our education and our habits. We have to untrain what we've been trained to do and be like clay and let Yah's words spiritually get us in line with him.
Exactly. You rightly said, Cottrell. Rightly said, my brother. All right, fellow students, if Cottrell's done with his commentary, let's get busy studying the word of Yah. Chapter 21, I do believe chapter 21, unless I get an update from, chapter 21 of Devarim, somebody called it Deuteronomy, but actually his name is Devarim, I'm getting it, Katria.
Yeah, and rolling right off your tongue.
Exactly. Thank you, brother. I'm going to give y'all a few seconds to get there. May the Most High bless us all by his word. And once we've did critical analysis and assessment of it, make the right application. Let's get started. If he always goes back to, he wants you to specifically know the who, what, when, where, and how. And it says, where? If in the land. that Yah, your Elohim, is assigning you to possess. Someone slain is found lying in the open. The identity of the slayer not being known. Your elders, he tells you the who, and your magistrates shall go out and measure the distance. Boy, we were just like those people on those cop movies. I mean, it's CSI. You have to go out and measure the distance from the corpse to the nearby towns. The elders of the town.
Where do you think they got it from?
They got it from us. We were CSI for CSI got started, Cartrell.
Yeah. Who has jurisdiction? Yeah.
Yeah. And it says, and the elder of the town nearest the corpse shall then take the heifer, which has never been worked, which has never pulled a yoke, and the elders of that town, the who, shall bring the heifer down to the overflowing wadi, which is not tilled or sown. There, in the wadi, they shall break the heifer's neck. Then the who, the priest, sons of Levi, shall come forward then, for Yah, your Elohim, have chosen them to minister to him and to pronounce blessing in the name of Yah. And every lawsuit of assault is subject to their ruling. Those have the jurisdiction. Then all the elders, another who, of the town nearest to the corpse, shall wash their hands over the heifer, whose neck was broken in the wadi. They shall make this declaration. Here's what they should say. Our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it done. We ain't seen nothing. And ask, absolve, O Yah, your people, Israel, whom you redeemed, and we're subject to you. And do not let guilt from the blood, because the blood has to be responded to. And do not let the guilt from the blood of the innocent remain among your people, Israel. And that town will be absolved of blood guilt. Thus you will remove from your midst guilt for the blood of the innocent. For you will be doing what is right in the sight of Yah. And keep everything going. Because the land is connected. The people are connected. Everything is connected together. A domino effect.
Okay. So who is responsible?
They didn't find the responsible people, but it took the blood gift away from that town.
So it the elders had to come out.
Right.
And
they had
Levi.
To right.
It didn't say the prince.
Exactly.
It didn't say the chief.
No.
The elders.
The
they
elders.
Had to say a prayer.
Exactly.
Go through a ceremony in order to take the guiltiness off that city.
Off that city. And you know what tells me something? Elders held great prominence. In our nation.
Their words had meaning to Yah.
Exactly. Held great prominence. And it says, when you take the field against your enemies, and I'm going to tell you something, it's so true. And being ex-military, and some of these things, they must have got it from us. When you take the field against your enemies, and Yah, your Elohim, delivers them into your power, and take some of them captives, and see among the a beautiful woman, and you desire her, and take it a wife, bring her into your house. You can't treat her like a hoe. And she said, give her time, a time of mourning. She said, trim her hair, pair her nails, discard her captive garbs, what she was in when you got her. Then you give her some time. Be considerate. She should spend a month's time in your house lamenting her father, mother. After that, you may come to her and possess her. You've given her grieving time. And she shall be your wife and be accorded as such. But then, should you no longer want her, you must release her outright. You must not sell her for money. You had your will of her. There's consequences. You must not enslave her. There's consequences. If a man has two wives, one loved and one unloved, both the loved and unloved have borne him sons. But the firstborn is the son of the unloved. And we know this. We know this through our founding fathers. When he wills his property to his sons, he may not treat as firstborn the son of the loved one superseding the son of the unloved one in disregard of the son of the unloved one. Who is the eldest? Instead, he must accept the firstborn son of the unloved one and allot him a double portion of all his possessions, since he is the first fruit of his vigor. The birthright is his due. And we know this from our, and when Moses is speaking, he's speaking from our founding father, from experience. And that's why this is being put in place. They call least friction. It's called continuity. And that's beautiful. As a man, if a man has a wayward and a defiant son or daughter, who does not heed his father or mother and does not obey them even after they discipline him, his father and mother should take hold of him and bring him out to the elders. Elders have an awesome responsibility of his town at the public place of his community. Bring him before the public. They should say to the elders of his town, "This son of ours is disloyal and defiant." A whole lot of our sons and daughters need to come be brought forth, truth be told. "He does not heed us, and that's why we have the problem that we have. He is a glutton and he is a drunkard. Thereupon the men of the town should stone him to death." And that's, people think that's rather harsh. I think it's rather fair. Because he would become a burden on the town. He would terrorize the town, just like he's terrorizing his mother and father. He's going to take the show on the road. Just look at us. Look, if you think I'm lying, look at our communities and settlements now, wherever we're living in. If you don't take control of your children, what do they do? If they don't love mom and daddy, and they don't give mom and daddy respect, they're going to take the show on the road. And that's got to be squashed. And like I said, it may sound hard, but it's fair. That child has ample opportunity to get some get right. But he chooses to be defiant toward his mother and his father. A drunkard and a glutton, just eat up everything, drink up everything, disrespectful. And then you expect for him to put this kind of man on a community, just like we're doing now, and you see the end result. You see the end result as I'm speaking. I think Yah was pretty wise. If you love peace, if you love prosperity and continuity in your communities, this is a fair arrangement. It's not a harsh arrangement. Not unless you that way with son or daughter. And it goes on to say, "Thereupon the men of the town should stone him to death." And here is the domino effect, cause and effect. In effect, you will sweep out evil from the midst of Israel, from the midst all Israel will hear and be afraid. See, that'll stop them young folk from doing what they're doing. That'll put a stop to all that. That has put a stop to all the gang banging and shooting in the neighborhood. See, because they already know what's going to happen. Ain't going to be no question. Ain't going to be no argument. It's going to be straight across the board. And that son or daughter has ample opportunity to get some get right. Otherwise, you will be putting this on your community. And it would exacerbate. Because one young fellow or one young woman, they can get away with it, I do the same thing. And before you know it, the whole community messed up. So you got to get these young folks in check so you have peace and prosperity in your communities. Otherwise, you'll have what we have in our communities today, a whole lot of hot mess and killings and mistreatment, killing each other, killing innocent people, and it continues. This is the end result of not doing what Yah says. This is harsh. These conditions are harsh. But what Yah says is not harsh.
So these days, our elders are fearing our young people, but we see that the tables were reversed.
Exactly.
You had to respect those elders, because whatever decision those elders made, it could cost you your life. Especially
exactly.
If you're being rebellious and not following the disciplines of your parents.
Exactly. And this is fair. This is not harsh. It is not burdensome. It is taking.
So you see that everybody in the community was involved. They say it takes a village to raise a child, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying. It took a village. And we're
and
all
I'm sure
right.
The young
Go
people
ahead.
Had mentors and people that will point them in the right direction to help them develop themselves with their skills to be productive, you know, citizens of the nation. But
exactly.
If you was a rebel, you ain't want to do that, you ain't want to listen to nobody, you had to go.
It was going to cost you. If a man is guilty of a capital offense and is put to death, and you impale, this is some Shaka Zulu stuff, and you impale on the stake, you got to show it. You got to put it out there. He did this, and you impaled him on the stake. You must not let his corpse remain on the stake for a humanitarian reason overnight. You must bury him the same day. For an impaled body is an affront to Yah. You can't let him stay out there all night. You got to take him down or take her down and bury them this day. Because if you don't, you will inadvertently defile the land. You shall not defile the land that Yah your Elohim is giving you to possess. And that way you are defiling the land by keeping that body out overnight. Contrary to my brother and friend, what say you, my brother?
I say that your book reads a lot different than mine.
Okay, read yours. Read the part that's quite different from yours.
It says if someone has committed a capital crime, which is murder,
okay,
and is put to death,
okay,
then hung on a tree.
Okay.
His body is not to remain all night on the tree, but
right,
you must bury him on the same day, because a person who has been hanged has been cursed by Elohim.
Okay.
Now, why is that so important?
Okay.
Why is that so important? Because, you know, the noose in America is a symbol of what? They call it racism.
Racism.
When you see a noose in your locker room, they say that's racism. Why? Because
right,
they used to, what they call, pick a nigga and
right,
hang him on a tree. You know why? Because they knew that the Most High had cursed us. And us hanging on a tree being left out, that was a symbol of us being cursed by God.
Right. Okay.
So
the
fact that they did it anyway, it says,
right,
so that you will not defile your land. What you got to do? You got to bury it the same day. That's not what they did. They had a
right,
picnic. They burnt the body. They took pictures and everything. Right.
Right. Right.
So they trying to show that we are cursed by God, but by doing it, they're defiling this land.
Right. And it certainly is, Katriel. It certainly is. Well, thank you, Katriel, for your reading. Do you have any more commentary, Katriel?
Yeah.
Any more commentary?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Got to go back to the rules of war.
Okay.
You can't just defeat a people and snatch their pretty women.
Right.
And think you're going to do anything you want with them.
No,
there's
you can't.
Rules to war.
You can't do it like that.
So, yeah, you cut off that beauty. That hair is a part of her beauty. She's bald-headed now. Do you still like her?
Right.
her nails and her, and the way she dressed that allured you in the first place. Now she wearing servant's clothes. So she appeals to you. Mm-hmm. And will she ever get over the fact that you killed her father? And do you still want to marry her?
Right. Giving you time to redecide. Maybe that's not a good idea.
So you just couldn't take another nation's women after you beat them and just sleep with them and just throw them away. No, that's not how we do.
No.
You had to give them their due respect.
And you had to marry that woman. And you had to treat her like a married woman. With all due diligence.
So we know that there's the Geneva rights, right, for prisoners of war.
Exactly.
Where'd they get that from? They got it from us. When you go to war against your enemies and Yahya Elohim hands them over to you. Oh, that's how we go to war? Yahweh hand our enemies over to us? That's so beautiful. And you take prisoners. And you see among the prisoners a woman who looks good to you and you feel attracted to her and you want her as your wife. You ought to bring her to your home, to your house, where she will shave her head and cut off her fingernails and remove her prison clothes. She will stay there in your house mourning her father and mother a full month.
Right. And if you're still attracted to her, then you proceed further. But you may not be attracted to her within that month period. You may see her for what she worth, and she might not have no love for you. Can you think that woman gonna love you like that, player? So the Most High is giving you an opportunity to see the things the way they are, and giving the woman the opportunity to maybe change her mind. And so you don't go forward to see the fallacy of your ways.
If you sleep with her, you have to marry her.
Exactly.
She will be your wife.
Exactly.
If you have sexual relationships with her, and be her husband. In the event that you lose interest in her, you want to let her go wherever she wishes.
Mm-hmm.
But you may not sell her for money or treat her like a slave because you humiliated her.
Right. And she can move on.
Yep.
She can move on.
So we had some human rights, right?
Right. Human rights.
Within our laws. Human rights. Right. They call that human rights.
Human rights.
And rules of war.
Right. All right. That was good, Cartrell. We needed to understand that.
Yes, sir.
Well, Cartrell, if you have no more commentary, we will proceed on in our sites.
Well, the two wives situation, that's contentious.
Yeah. It is, Cartrell.
But like in our history, Jacob loved Rachel.
Right.
Leah wanted to marry him. Mm-hmm. They gave Jacob the two handmaids, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sometimes men have the ability to attract a lot of women. I ain't say all women. I'm attracted to every man. But there are some men who are very attractive to a lot of women. Take Michael Jackson, for instance. How many women would have married Michael Jackson? I'm just saying.
Yeah, a whole country of them.
A whole country. There is a guy, a brother, from Africa. His name is, wait a minute, what's his name? He had 80 wives.
Right.
But he was famous in Africa. But he was, I guess, that dude that just attracted women. 80 wives. Fela.
Right.
A brother named Fela.
Oh. Okay. Whatever happened to Fela?
Fela died of AIDS.
Okay, let's go. Let's move on. Whole lot of women. Okay. All right, y'all. Chapter 22. Okay. If you see, I've always said we are interwoven together and we're responsible for each other. And we shouldn't neglect or ignore one another. And this proves these points out. If you see a fellow's ox or sheep going astray, now you see a fellow don't see it, and it tells you do not ignore it. You must take it back to your brother. If your brother does not live near you, and I ain't talking about your blood brother, but your Hebrew brother, and if he don't, and if they're from a different tribe or whatnot, and they don't live near you or in the tribe, or you don't know who he is, you shall bring that ox or sheep home, and it shall remain with you until your brother claims it. Then you shall give it back to him. You should do the same with his ass. You should do the same with his clothes. So too shall you do with anything your brother loses and you find. Ain't no finest keeper, losers, weepers. Yeah. We didn't have that contract. Ain't no finest keeper, losers, weepers. No. You must not remain indifferent. If you see your brother's ass or ox falling in the road, don't ignore it. Don't walk away. You must help him raise it. A woman must not put on men's clothing, nor should men wear women's clothing. Tyler Perry, my dear. For whoever does these things, it is abhorrent to Yah, your Elohim. It's some detestable. Strongly detestable to Yah.
You can't tell that to the LGBTQ community.
Yah is telling you, but if they got ears, should take it up with Yah.
Ain't the first part beautiful?
Yeah.
Wherever you are, if you're in trouble, you know that your people, some way, somehow, is going to help you.
Go come along to help you out. Somebody going to be there to help you. If along the road. And see, the Most High cared about the environment. He cared about animals. Here's how he cared about animals so much. He says, if you chance upon a bird's nest in a tree or on the ground with fledglings or eggs, little baby birds or eggs, in the mother sitting on the fledgling or on the eggs, do not take the mother together with her young. Don't take both of them. Either you let the mother go and take only the young in order, what? That you may fare well and have a long life. You can't take both of them. When you build a new house, you are responsible for your neighbors and your children and your family. You must build a parapet for your roof so that you do not bring but guilt on your house. If anyone should fall from it, you shall not sow your vineyards with a second kind of two kind of seeds. Else the crop from the seeds you have sown and the yield of the vineyards may not be used. You should not plow with an ox and an ass together. You should not wear clothes combining wool and linen. Clothes like you got a pair of wooden pants on and a linen shirt.
No, it's like 50% cotton and 50% wool together.
Okay. Yeah, either you're going to wear wool. If you're going to wear linen. Shouldn't bear these
cotton,
wear cotton. Shouldn't combine the material together. The Most High knows this for whatever reason. It is not healthy for us. And that's why he told us not to wear it like that. It's unhealthy, I suspect, for us. And then a lot of people with these fringes. But here's what the Most High said. In our land, all this in our land, bear this in mind. You shall make tassels on four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. I've seen brothers and sisters with tassels all around the garment. But it says you shall make tassels on the four corners of the garment with which you cover yourself. That's not a complete wraparound. It's at every corner you have those tassels. If a man marries a woman and cohabitates with her, bear in mind, brothers and sisters, in these studies, this in our land, okay? Bear this in mind. Then he takes an aversion to her. Then he makes up a charge against her and defames her and says, I married this woman when I approached her and found out she was not a virgin. She ain't right. Somebody already had her. In such a case, the girl's father and mother shall produce the evidence of the girl's virginity. I'm going to tell you how they do that. You know, the wedding night, the father and mother in our time, in our land, kept that the bed clothing as evidence. So they could produce the evidence if ever called upon. So that's how they could be able to produce, you know, she had bled during her intercourse with her husband the first night, the wedding night. And produce the evidence of the girl's virginity before the elders. Elders have great responsibility again of the town at the gate. The girl's father said to the elders, I gave this man my daughter to wife, but he's taken aversion to her. He don't like her no more. So he's defamed her character. He's made up charges saying, I did not find your daughter. Your daughter was no virgin, but here's the evidence of my daughter's virginity. Here's the bedding clothing, the bedding sheets they had for that night. See, there's blood on it, right? That means she was a virgin. And they said, spread out the cloth before the elders of the town. And the elders of the town did take the man and whoop his ass, flog him. And they shall find him 100 shekels of silver and give it to the girl's father. For the man has defamed a virgin of Israel. You can't do that. Moreover, she shall remain his wife. That boy, you can't get away. You can't take advantage of a sister. You can't lie on a sister. You're going to get your behind whooped. You're going to pay 100 shekels, and you're going to still keep that, and you better not mistreat her. And you're going to still keep her as a wife, and you better not mistreat her.
Well, she shows you the value of virgins in the nation of Israel. If you married a virgin,
right,
and you married her, you had to consecrate the marriage.
Exactly.
The parents had to take the bed sheets. Imagine that. They had bed sheets.
Right. Exactly.
And they had to keep them, preserve them, however, to show
right.
that the marriage was consecrated in case, if however this dude tried to say that she wasn't a virgin.
Exactly. What a crash dummy, Cartrell. To even say that, and not even that these parents were, he thought, well, they ain't going to keep them. But you know, women don't throw away nothing, especially when it comes to their girls. But
they
the
always
charge,
keep a record, don't they?
I'm telling you, man. And then here's
got
the deal.
Got that file on you.
Exactly. You got the file. You got the M.O. And moreover, she shall remain his wife. He shall never have the right to divorce her. You forfeited that right ever to divorce that woman under any circumstance. Well, except adultery. And 9 times, you being the first one she had a relationship with, she ain't going nowhere 9 times out of 10. She ain't going nowhere anyway.
If you're treating her right.
If you're treating her right. And if you try to mistreat her, you know, you have to answer up to that too. You ain't going to get away. But if the charges prove true and the girl was found not to have been a virgin, then the girl shall be bought out to the interest of her father's house. And the men of the town shall stone her to death. For she did a shameful thing in Israel, committing fornication while under her father's roof and authority. Yes, you'll put a stop to that. Thus, the cause and effect, you will sweep away evil from your midst. Young women won't be doing that like that. Won't be trying to do the nasty and trying to be slick about it. If a man is found lying with another man's wife, both of them, the man and the woman with whom he lay, shall die. Thus you will sweep away evil from Israel. You put a stop to that. In the case of a virgin who is engaged to a man, if a man comes upon her in town and lies with her, takes her, you take the two of them out to the gate of that town and stone them to death. The girl, because she did not cry out for help, she must have lacked it. Otherwise, she would have cried out for help. The man, because he violated another man's wife, thus she will sweep away evil from their midst. But if the man comes upon an engaged girl in the open country, and the man takes her and lies with her by force, Only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. The girl did not incur the death penalty. For this case is like that of a man attacking another and murdering him. He came upon her in an open. Though the engaged girl cried out, "Hey, hey, help!" There was no one to save her. Didn't nobody hear. But if a man comes upon a virgin, takes her, and lies down with her, then they are discovered. The man who lay with her shall pay the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall. You can't lay with them girls for free now. That's your wife, not for free. You're going to pay that daddy, and she your wife, because he violated her. He did not have the right to, and he can never have the right to divorce her. You forfeited that right. You put yourself in a trick bag, player. Thought you were going to get some nookie and get away. They got you. You got you a wife now, boy. Contrary, what say you, my brother and friend?
They call that a shotgun wedding.
Right? No, there's 50 shekels wedding.
That's what? 50 shekel wedding.
50 shekels, a silver wedding.
That's on top of the dowry that he still got to pay.
Exactly. You got to pay your father. You in a lose-lose situation. I would advise y'all do it the right way. If you want a wife, you want to have sex. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But do it the right way. Okay? Because otherwise, they're going to ring your bell. Okay? Truth be told, you're going to get your bell wrong in the land. Okay? Contrera, what is your commentary, brother?
If you rape a girl, but if the man comes upon an engaged girl,
already engaged,
side,
right?
The man grabs her and has sexual relationships with her, then only the man who had intercourse with her is to die.
Exactly.
You will not do anything to the girl because she has done nothing deserving death. The situation is like the case of a man who attacks his neighbor and kills him. So rape is on the same level as murder.
It's something serious.
Rape is on the same level as murder. He says the situation is like the case of a man who attacks his neighbor and kills him. And we know the rules for that. The Avenger of Blood is coming after you. You kill your neighbor, right? You better make it to the city of refuge. But even then,
but
if you did it intentionally, you're going to die.
But in this case, there's no making it to a sanctuary city. The mandates is already laid down. If she's engaged and you come upon her, you pull yourself, your attention upon her, and she screams out for help, it's a wrap for you, brother. Ain't no sanctuary city. And Cottrell alluded to the fact, this is a serious offense. A serious capital offense. You're putting your hand on women that ain't your women and trying to take you some nookie. No. No, player. That ain't going to happen.
You're not doing 5 to 10 or 10 to 20.
You ain't going to be sitting in prison eating bun buns and cupcakes thinking you're going to get out to do it again. Okay?
Oh, no. It wasn't tolerated in our nation.
No, wasn't no get out and do a re-up. When you in, you in. When you out. You know what I mean?
So people might say, why don't you just throw him in jail? Oh, that's the Western mentality.
No, that ain't
Western. You rape somebody, it's like murdering somebody. You murder somebody, you dying. Life for life. It ain't no you doing 25 to life. Oh, no.
And then you doing life in a sense, brother. Even if she wasn't engaged, and she was just a maiden out in the field, working under the daddy vineyard or whatever, and you come along, you take a fancy to her, you take her, and they catch her, and she cried out for help. Well, it's a life sentence for you, because not only they going to take it, they going to flog you, and then you're going to pay that father, then you're going to pay a dowry. Then you got your wife, and you better not mistreat her. So it is a life sentence in another sort of kind of way. So be careful what you put your little man at. That's the only thing I can tell you. And if you want a wife, you better get your wife. Otherwise, you're going to have a life sentence. Okay? You know, unlike what they're offering here, it's going to be a life sentence, and you can never divorce her. You can never divorce her. And you got to take care of her, too. So be careful.
Why would a man sleep with another man's wife?
Oh,
that's a soap opera. Soap operas.
Right, soap opera. Some of this nonsense that this Western culture is down with. Why would you want all these women out here anyway? Why you want something that ain't yours anyway? And with Cottrell, pretty soon he's going to get into Proverbs about drinking water out of your own cistern. You know, and that story has a dual effect. And I believe the story in Proverbs not only about a physical relationship, but it's talking about a spiritual relationship. You can't drink water out of other nations' cisterns, their gods and whatnot. You got to drink the water out of your own cistern. And that's Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yah. That's the water you got. And then your wife also. It's teaching a dual message.
So before we get there,
right?
The Most High is pointing out that adultery, the penalty is death. But here in America, it's a sport. They call it swinging, wife swapping, women who are bored with their husband, going online to find a date. No, you're bringing wickedness into the land.
Right. And it has to be dealt with. If it doesn't deal with, it flourishes.
And who has to die? Both of them.
Right.
The man and the woman.
Right.
Must die.
Right.
So that adultery is for this. You're a married woman, you shouldn't be out there playing the field, baby.
Well, it sounds rather harsh from a Western concept, but from an Eastern concept, it sounds rather fair. Okay? Like I said, from a Western point of view, from their way of thinking and from their way of studying and from their way of being indoctrinated, it sounds rather harsh, but I think it sounds quite reasonable. But it keeps a lot of things down. It keeps a lot of mess down. It keeps a lot of women in their house with their own husband. And it keeps a lot of men from looking at other wives, okay? If you want a wife, get your own wife. Don't be looking at nobody else's wife, trying to get at nobody else's wife. Get your own wife. Because if you try to mess with that man's wife or whatnot, and they catch up with you, it's going to cost you. It's a life sentence. It's a death sentence. It's a death penalty. And as far as that woman is concerned, and it should be. It should be a death penalty. That'll keep a whole lot of nonsense down in the community. Keep everybody above board. Keep all the mess down, Cartrell. Keeps a lot of confusion down. I think
the main thing is balance.
Yeah.
Because jealousy, trust me, you can't stop the rage of a man or a woman when they, you know, are jealous. It brings violence.
Exactly. You cause the confusion.
Spiritual morality.
Right. You causing a lot of problems. You're causing a lot of divisions in the community. You're not looking out for the community. You're looking out for your own interests when you're doing things like that. And we're designed interwoven together to think about each other, to be interwoven together, to look out for one another, not to try to take advantage of one another and use and mistreat one another. I have a daughter with somebody else's wife or whatnot, and so on and so forth. We're woven together as a special nation to be about our behavior. Not only that, be a supportive of one another. And that is not conducive to being interwoven together. As tribes of one singular nation, and certainly of tribes of 12 different nations woven together, it's certainly not conducive to something that's constructive in a positive culture. And I concede from our Western culture that's good. That's very good. I think Yah knows all and does what's in the best interest of us all.
And I think it's a good thing from an Eastern concept. And I have an Eastern mind way of thinking. So I think it's rather good.
Well, I've been married almost 40 years.
Right.
To my wife.
Okay.
And I've been with my wife out in public, and niggas will try to hit on my wife while I'm there.
Right.
I'm like,
you walk with your wife, and that woman got to be, and they still trying to knock at her. Man, these suckers sick, man.
And your imagination, like, damn, what if I'm not with her? I'm with her, and they hitting on her. What happens when I'm not with her?
Exactly.
So all kind of imaginations is going on in my mind, but I put my trust in y'all. Yeah, my wife doing something, it's on her.
Yep. It's on her.
She got to pay the price. And I pray I find me a good wife that wouldn't do nothing like that. Because your imagination,
yeah,
I'm with you, and these niggas are hitting on you.
Yeah, you all too. Pray for them. Don't cross you up like that. Because it causes a lot of problems, Cartier. And you won't be so.
You can't even sleep at night, man. You think it's somebody sleeping with your wife.
Yeah, you know, you can't sleep, brother. She can't sleep. Can't nobody
eat. My wife used to work the night shift at a hospice or a healthcare facility.
Right.
So she working at night. I'm working in the day.
Right.
So you have to have trust. In relationships.
And if you violate that trust card trail, believe you me, brother, that is an offer that hurts the party that has been violated. And it is devastating. It's devastating, Cartier. People walk around looking like they smoking crack. And they ain't never hit a pipe in their life. That's how devastating that people cheating on you can have that physiological effect and psychological effect upon you.
And why is that? Because it's pretty much the biggest investment that you're making in your life. You're choosing to walk the rest of your life with somebody else that you really don't know, that you hope you know, but you never really know
a
person.
This is how much you don't know, Cartrell. In our land, we are required when we get married, to a bride, to spend a whole year trying to get to know her, you know, and trying to get to understand her and her understand you. Just like that song by New Birth, you got to understand me. I got to understand you. We got to hang on in there, baby. Hang on there. And so,
you know what that's called?
What's that, my brother?
Courtship.
Yeah. Yeah, you
called them.
They
used to have what they call, remember when you went on a date with your first girl and they had like somebody from the family with you, what they used to call that?
A chaperone.
Chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chaperone.
Right.
While you were in the midst of your courtship.
Right.
Right? That's back in the old days. I bet you young people don't even know what a chaperone is. They probably think it's somebody driving you around in a car.
But in our land, we dated our wives after we married them. That's why we spent a whole year with them. We didn't date them before we got with them. We dated after we got with them to spend time with them, quality time with them, to build up a solidified relationship. And I think, truth be told, Katya, that makes for a better relationship because you're with them all the time. You're living in the same house. You don't know her like that. She don't know you like that. So you're actually dating.
And maybe she does.
Right.
Because in our land, we grew up tribe by tribe. So she probably went to the same school. You probably ran into the same circles with this young girl that you growing up. She's about your age and whatnot. And parents probably had prearranged marriage. Like, this young man would be good for this young lady.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
They probably had prearranged, I'm sure, marriages that made for solid relationships.
Well, and here's the deal too, contract. And that being said, he knew who he was going to marry. She knew who she was going to marry. And they ain't going on dates. You ain't going on damn date. When they started going on dates and got to know each other, after they got married, they spent a whole year together. You want to date, you date after you get married. So if you do something, you do it anyway, because she yours, you his. And if you want to have sex, you're married. Okay? If you can't maintain yourself, you ain't got to. Okay, you're married.
That's the consummation of the marriage when she produces her tokens of virginity.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Because all that time she's betrothed, like you said, it's a whole year that they get to
right.
know each other. But he
exactly.
can't sleep with her. She can't sleep with him until the marriage is consummated, so her parents
right.
can have that sheet in case he tried to say she wasn't a virgin when I married her.
Exactly.
So our culture was way different from how we live in now.
Well,
we don't know what our we don't even know what our sons and daughters are doing behind our backs.
Or getting involved with. Who they getting involved with.
Right.
You know, so you have no control over nothing. So you can't look out for your daughter's best interest or your son's best interest. And a lot of people want to stay in this land. Why would you want to stay in a land, Katja, where you have no control over nothing?
And we never have that talk with our children.
Right.
About sexual relationships and
yeah.
responsibility of marriage. So young brothers run around to try to get all, you know, the punani that they can get, and they create
right.
babies.
Right.
But they're not responsible fathers. So now
because,
we got young men,
right.
young women having children and don't know the responsibility of being a parent.
Exactly. And that's one of the, well, that's another unfortunate incident of not having a land who are in control of everything. And when you're not in control of your food sources, your sex, your marriage relationships, your education, your housing. When you're not in control of it, man, I mean, you're at the mercy of everybody else. And we're mad. And in contrary, you know, when I was thinking today, and I was doing some further study after I heard the rumors about me and you and whatnot, and I was doing a further study, and the Most High led me into this study, and this study said the Most High said, he's going to make us mad. We have lost our mind. And some of our brothers and sisters are still like that. Mad as hell, lost our minds. Just crazy as hell, Cartrell, truth be told. And certainly some will probably say the same thing about Young Soo. And maybe there's some truth to it. But y'all said he's going to make us crazy as hell. And certainly, Cartrell, we're certainly that, my brother. That's why we always suggest on the show, get you a new thinker. Because the one we got ain't working for is working on us.
And what's funny is that we wear that madness with a badge of honor.
Exactly, like it's something special. Crazy as hell, Cartrell. Crazy as hell.
And proud of it.
And proud of it. Cartrell, well, brother, we're done with that study. Said. And it was nice. You know, that's why I like, you know, said what they want to say about what you and I do for y'all. I mean, but I'll tell you one thing. We're not adding nothing to it, not taking anything away from what y'all said. And so say what, but I enjoy it. So they're not going to take my joy away from me, Cartrell.
Me neither.
They're not going to take my joy away because they ain't happy and want to do some misery love company. I'm not unhappy. I'm not unhappy, Cartrell, saying what y'all says. Okay? And ain't nobody going to make me unhappy because they unhappy. Okay? And that's
mm-hmm.
that on. And I enjoy coming on this show. And studying along with you and the fellow students, say what y'all says. And I take great pleasure. And I ain't gonna let nobody take my joy away from that. Okay? All right, Cartrell.
You know how the Most High feels about murmuring and complaining
right.
and moaning and groaning. And
exactly.
if you haven't been studying, you better find out.
Well, I can give them a bit of study too. We ain't got there, but we're gonna get there. In the book of Proverbs, it says, I hate certain things. He hates them. It's a lying tongue. A lying. A tongue that tries to separate brothers and sisters by virtue of lying. And my suggestion to you, if you're a skipper, that you study the books of the Proverbs. Okay? That's my advice to you that may be lying and about Cartrell and I suggest you go to the book of Proverbs. Okay? All right, Cartrell. We go into another chapter in the book of Psalms, and we're going to be all ears and see what your commentaries are. May God bless us, Cartrell, by the reading of your word, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, we give thanks for our King David, because he wrote this psalm as well. Psalms 141. Check with Abiyah. I think it's Psalm 141.
Abiyah, give us a chapter check, please.
Yeah.
It's good to have good people, brother. It's good to have good people. Abiyah, wake up, Abiyah. Give us a chapter check, please. May the Most High bless you, sister. We love you.
I don't mind repeating stuff, but
yeah. But if we don't have to, Abiyah gonna keep us on point. Abiyah, there she goes. There she goes. Hold on, let me see what she's 42 contract. Thank you, Abiyah. May the Most High bless you. You are one in a million. Thank you, Abiyah.
So I was right, right?
42 contract. 42.
142?
Yeah, 142.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay.
There's a lot of chapters in these books, so.
Now, you know I know.
Uh-huh. And a continuation. This is another Psalm of King David. They call it the Maskil of King David. When he was in the cave, we're going to get to that, but he was hiding from the king.
Yeah. And that was a good one, Katria, when he was in the cave.
Yeah, yeah. All his mighty men were with him, so
yeah,
he wasn't afraid because he knew. Yeah,
and he could have did the deed to King Saul, but he didn't.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So
while
he's in this situation of distress, because he's not comfortable living in a cave. How many people would be comfortable living in a cave? This man's living in a cave. Okay. With my voice, I cry to you, Yah. With my voice, I plead to Yah for mercy. Before him, I pour out my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. So that's the formula right there, right? People running around complaining about this and that, but they're not taking their complaints to the Most High. We're not taking our troubles to the Most High. But we see that King David, the first thing he does is to complain about the people who's trying to oppress him or kill him or do him unjustly. You got to bring that to Yah.
Exactly.
You can't be talking to your friends and gossiping and whispering to other people. No, take it straight to the Most High.
Exactly.
When my spirit faints within me, which means he's afraid, his bones are shaking, you
mm-hmm.
watch over my path. So even when you're afraid, you have that confidence to know that the Most High is there watching over you.
Well, if everybody gets afraid, Katya. I'm an ex-Marine, right? They said
yes,
always a Marine, once a Marine, always. If you don't get scared, Katya, if you don't get scared, you're crazy as hell, or you're psycho, okay?
Or you're lying.
Yeah, you're lying. Yeah.
You're lying to somebody.
Well, here's the deal, Katya. But you don't let your fear paralyze you. You overcome your fear.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like you said, I've had fear paralyze me.
Right.
I know that experience, and I never want to feel it again.
Well,
paralyzed by fear.
You knew when you were in those high towers and your first experience with those heights,
mm-hmm.
and you had, from what you told us, you had a momentary fear, and you went to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yahweh. Cool.
Number seven.
Right. and then you overcame that fear.
You overcame
the paralysis of fear. And so some people can't overcome it, Cartrell.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you got to face it, not by yourself, but with the Most High.
Right.
But the paralysis of fear that I have, I was talking about in this instance, was when I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And we used to live in a house in Queens, which was like suburbia.
Right.
And my mother moved away from my stepfather like in the middle of a night because of how he was treating her. So she took my oldest brother and my oldest sister and myself.
Right.
And she left her other four children, my other sisters and brothers, with their father. And she moved us to my grandmother's house.
Okay.
So after a while, she got her own apartment uptown in Manhattan.
Uh-huh. Right.
And one night, her and I were coming home from one of her friend's house.
Right.
And in front of our building, a guy tried to snatch her pocketbook.
Right.
Right there. Knocked her to the ground. My mother's fighting. She's holding this bag, and she's fighting this guy. I stood there frozen. I couldn't believe my eyes.
I don't think
my
was,
mother was fighting
no,
this guy, Cartrell, wrestling
yeah,
with this guy.
No, in your defense, Cartrell, you weren't scared.
No.
You were shocked. You were in a state of shock.
No, I was scared.
Right, you were in a state of shock.
I was frozen with fear.
Right. Let me tell you something, Cartrell. I've been in situations like that where people have had guns in my face on several times. And you know, the funny thing about that, Cartrell, you know what my mind started doing? And that's why when you told me, you said, Sue, that no, you couldn't have been one of the men chosen. You know, going into battle. But you know what? The reason why I say I could beat Cartrell, I'm tall. And I've been in situations where the average man or woman would have been paralyzed. You know what my mind does in situation? And I'm talking life death situation, Cartrell. The fear doesn't take over. My mind starts acting like a computer. I mean, I'm talking, it's surreal. I mean, I'm looking at things like it's in tunnel vision. Everything slows down. You hear people say everything slows down. My mind slows down. It kicks out the fear. Then it starts computing up numbers. What's the best recourse of action? You got to move. And what's your best move? What's the best advantageous move for you? See, that's how my mind works. It's never parallel. It kicks fear to the side and it starts crunching. And every time, I'm telling you, I've had guns. Head busted from guns hit my head, gun shot up in the air. I mean, but my mind is not paralyzed. My mind kicks fear to the side and it starts calculating what's the best course of action. And then I just move automatically, bro. It's just automatic. And I don't hesitation, no reservation. I'm just on it. And the guys that have tried to do me in, get done in. And that's why I always make that statement sometimes, Cartrell. And when you said, how you doing, Yumsu? I said, I do what I do before they do it to me. And it's always been my prerogative. I do what I do before they do it to me. And I really mean that. And you be saying, oh, Soup just joking. No, Soup ain't. Soup ain't joking. Because that's always been me. I do what I do before they do it to me, and that's why I said I could have been one of them, Cartrell. I could have been one of them. That it was yeah.
You getting ready to turn 65, bro?
Hey, look here. What did Caleb say? Don't be knocking my 65. What did Caleb say?
You ain't 25 no more, bro.
Okay, but what did Caleb say? What did
I know
Caleb
what Caleb said. But hey, well, Keller was eating good food. He wasn't eating no GMOs.
Well, I guess you may have a point there.
Okay.
I guess you. Based on that alone, Cartrell.
You're 64,
right.
About to
you're
turn
right.
65, bro.
Yeah, you're right, Cartrell.
You better do like King David, son.
Yeah, yeah.
Run to your refuge first and foremost.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right, Cartrell, based on that.
Yeah.
You're right.
Back to my little story when I was 10 years old, watching my mother getting robbed by this dude in the city, and I stood there frozen in time watching my mother fight this guy. Fortunately, somebody was across the street and hollered out, and a dude got up and broke out.
Right.
Mother picked herself, dusted herself off. She had her bag in her hand. We walked upstairs and went to her apartment. I was so ashamed of myself. I said to myself that this will never, ever, ever in my life happen again.
Right.
I see something happening right before my eyes, and I did nothing about it. I could have picked up a bottle, a can, a rock. I could have kicked and jumped on to help her out. So it taught me a lesson. It taught me, number one, you have to take action immediately.
Right. Immediately.
Number two, it gave me courage to see my mother fight this guy.
Exactly.
So I got
a woman,
courage from my mother to see how she was fighting this dude off.
Was your mama jacking, man? Was she jacking?
Sergeant
was
Mom,
she,
baby.
Was she jacking?
Sergeant Mom.
Was she throwing them Deuce Cottrell?
The dude couldn't get her back. He probably left with a black eye.
Hey, look here. She was throwing them Deuce, huh?
No doubt.
All right.
Because, you know, somebody run up behind you, just snatch your bag, and they gone.
Right.
You ain't fast enough to catch them.
Right.
He caught her by surprise, but she surprised the hell out of him.
she squared up on him. She threw them Deuce.
And I'm standing there watching this drama, frozen with fear. I'm like, no, this can't really be happening. He could have took out a knife and stabbed her or shot her, and I would have been just standing there. So I swore to myself. I was so ashamed of myself. But the Most High was giving me a message. Now you in the city, brother. You better take it seriously. So from that day on, it changed me. Now, Sufi, you still there? Sounds like you got cut off.
Oh, no, I'm here. I go around and talk again. Cartrell.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm here. I had to hit around the corner again. I ain't gonna go into details. You already know what the details is.
But yeah, man. I got my courage from my mother.
Right.
Watching her, because she's a fighter. And she taught me a valuable lesson that day that I still keep with me now. I got my courage from my mother. She's a fighter. No joke.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing. And I'm glad she was safe and she didn't lose. You said your mother had a black eye?
No. She came out without a bruise. No scars, no nothing. I'm saying I didn't see his face, but he probably had a black eye or something.
Hey, man, your mama hit hard. I'm pretty sure I had a conversation with his homeboy. Hey, man, don't mess with that woman. That woman hit hard.
And my mother is real pretty. I thought she was one of the prettiest women in the world.
Yeah. And he thought because she was pretty. Yeah,
no, he didn't see her. He attacked her from behind. It was dark.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, my mother used to be a model when she was young.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know she had fight in her like that.
She fooled you, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
But I tell you what, your mom didn't take no mess, though. She didn't let no man abuse her, mistreat her.
Not at all.
And from anybody. But, yeah.
I mean, her experience with my stepfather,
right?
You know, she had that fight in her.
Right.
And he was a big dude. He played football. He was a black belt.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. I'm not kidding you at all.
Why would you want to abuse a little woman like that, man?
She was working hard.
Well, why would you want to abuse a woman, period?
It's because of the hurt of our captivity. That's why.
Oh,
our men are not in power.
Oh.
We don't have a say. We're dealing with, you know, people that hate us in a system that hates us, and we can't provide for our families like we want to. So we take it out on our family.
Mm. How long did she stay with him, Cartrell?
Well, she had four children by him, four other brothers and sisters.
Okay.
But I was like 10 years old, so maybe about 9 years. Because when I was born, my mother and father had split up.
Right.
And she married this other brother.
Oh, okay. That's the second guy. Okay.
And whatever. Great qualities. Yeah, good qualities.
Did you like him, Cottrell?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I learned a lot from him.
Right.
Martial arts, how to play the drum.
Uh-huh.
He was an artist. But I didn't like the fact that he abused my mother.
So, but he was nice.
I told myself that I would never abuse my mother, or a woman.
Right.
I never put my hands on a woman.
Right.
Because I used to hear him.
Yeah. But look here, and that's the best thing, the best policy. And whatever happened to him, Katrina?
He passed a few years ago. But he raised his four children, my brothers and sisters. Yeah.
Did he maintain a relationship with you?
With me, no.
Okay. Okay.
We saw him off and on when he brought them to see us. We went to see them.
Oh, okay. But he was still pleasant when he talked to you and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He wasn't a street brother. He was a very, bright, brilliant man.
Right. He just couldn't. Yeah, madness. Madness, Cottrell. Madness.
Yeah, that's what it is. Madness.
All right, well, we times are getting back. We're gonna let you finish up.
It's Friday, man.
Okay.
Ain't no family out there?
Well, Abby, y'all didn't say nothing last week. She needs to say, I know she got something thankful for y'all now. I'm thankful. You thankful. I'm thankful.
Every day.
I'm thankful for the show. I'm thankful for you, for having y'all, and for the many listeners that are worldwide that tune into the show. Let me tell you, listeners, I never do often tell you international listeners because you can't call in. We appreciate your love for y'all, your love for the truth, and we appreciate that you giving us the courtesy in order to bring the truth of y'all to you. And so we're very appreciative of you. So we never tell you this, we're telling you this now. We're appreciative of you and your love and respect for truth and justice and wanting to know y'all. And we're honored to be able to bring his information to you. And that is a blessing. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Cartel, a good brother to work with, bring y'all information to you, a good ambassador of y'all, a good spokesperson. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Abby, y'all, a bookkeeper who keeps us steady and keeps us on course. I mean, Abby, y'all, is just like the navigator of a ship. See, Cartier and I, we're like the captain and the co-captain. If we had a navigator, we'd be booked up on rocks. So we're appreciative of Abby, y'all. And most important, we're thankful for y'all. And that goes without saying, but we need to say it. And all praises be to his name. We thank for everything that he provides for us every day of every minute of every hour. And I think Abiyah has something to be thankful for, Cartrell, this week. Abiyah, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Abiyah. May the Most High bless you.
Shalom, brothers. May the Most High bless you both and all the listeners out there. Last week you said I didn't say nothing, but that don't mean I don't praise him. I praise him every day, every minute of the day.
And so you should. And so you should.
Yes, indeed. Just like I was thinking earlier, when I said I was looking back at my life. And I was just, like, I'd be praising. Like I told y'all, I praise all the time. I thought back from when I was a little girl all the way up to where I'm at now. All the hell I've been through, all the pain I had in my life, all the suffering and crying, not knowing where I was going to go next and how to turn, which corner to walk, which street to cross. I look and I just, praise y'all, thank him for directing me, even when I didn't know it was him directing me, but I now know it. And I praise him for all that he let me go through and still be here because I know he built me up and made me stronger. He is my strength. He is my Lord. He's my praise that I'll give him glory every day.
Hallelujah.
Every moment that he let breath come through my nostrils. So
hallelujah.
I really say, yes, say that again.
Okay, hallelujah, Abby. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that too. Hallelujah. But like I said, he is my strength. So I also want to thank, I thank him too for my brothers and my sisters out there. You know, I share all the love I can and do the best that I can. and just hopeful that he be, that y'all be pleased with me. That's my praise, and I thank you for letting me have my little say. So you brothers take care. May the Most High keep blessing you. Shalom.
Thank you. Most High bless you too. Shalom.
Shalom. All right. Well, Cartrell, what is your praises and thanksgiving and whatnot?
Well, as y'all have said, I give thanks and praise to the Most High every day. Just for giving me the life, the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding that he's given to me. And even for my people, like yourself, Yam Sufari, Sister Abiyah, Sister Wendy Pettis, Imaha Dora, Sister Yehudi, Brother Raya, Lil Gregory. Because when I was growing up, I had this truth. And I had friends and cousins and family that didn't receive it. And in my mind, it's like, my people is not going to hear this truth because they wrapped up into what they wrapped up into. And they ain't got time for y'all's truth. So for me to see our people like yourself and Abiyah begin to open their eyes and see y'all's truth, it shows me that my prayers to y'all really have been answered. Because
exactly.
I didn't see how it was going to be possible, you know, for our people to get out of the trap that has been set for us in denying our history, our knowledge of self, our roots and culture, and the fact that we're here now in 2021 and our people are waking up to their roots and culture shows me that y'all is real. And I will always be dedicated and loyal, you know, to my Creator because he has shown me the way all my life. So I give thanks and praise that he's given me a voice on this platform that he's provided for you and all of us to bring our people together. And I pray that our words have power and effect in the hearts and minds of our people.
Exactly. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you, Katria. And I want to say this in closing. I thank you for our international students. The numbers are internationally. Canada, UK, France, the numbers are increasing. And it's a blessing that you brothers and sisters in international land are interested. And it says our words are not going out and coming back void, the words of Yah. And that's a blessing. I can see the numbers. And Cartrell can't see him, but I can see him. But we both are very appreciative to your interest in y'all. And we hope you hold on tight, okay? Because you're going to need it. Well,
shout out to the brothers and sisters in the four corners of the earth, wherever you are, listening to the voice that's going out.
In different nations, in strangers.
Yeah.
This goes out for you too.
No doubt.
Well, Cartrell and I, we don't know where y'all are going. But we know this for certain. You're getting ready to get out of here. But we want the Most High to bless you, direct your steps, water your tongues. But in order to do that, you must all understand this. You need a new thinker. Our thinkers are broken, all of us. Just like your King Dawood asked for a new thinker. Please ask for a new thinker too. A thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your brothers and sisters as yours, and strangers. And that thirst continually after righteousness. May the Most High bless you and direct you and order your steps. We love you and shalom. Good night. Thank you, God. I had to stop this because I didn't do justice. Thank you, Abby, also, for your navigation. Without you, we'd be on rocks. Thank you, too. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
next time we see each other, maybe years and years from now. Family reunion, got to have a family reunion. Family reunion, it's so nice to come together, get together. I wish Grandma could see the whole family. And a warm and tender embrace. And if Grandpa was here, I know he'd be smiling from ear to ear to see what he had done. All the offspring from his daughters and sons of family.
Divine Father. That is, if we together, no matter what color, race, creed, cause that's all in the head, whether you want to believe it or not, cause you'll believe.